I'm Peter. I'll be presenting on the BEC project, which is about analyzing security properties for string sanitizers. And this is joint work with my spectacular co-authors. They're listed on the slide. And I guess it's worth noting that Pratik and I were interns at Microsoft Research last year when this project was done. So let's start straight with an example, which will seem familiar to many of you. Please imagine that for the next few minutes or so, I am a competent web developer, mostly competent, but not super competent. So, you know, just leveling that out. And I imagine that I want to create a web application that allows its users to create user profiles, including a profile picture. So just like the website shown on the slide here. So my goal is to create this page, and in order to display the profile picture, I might do something like include an image tag, and since in this case the address of the image is provided by the user, I'm going to treat this as some untrusted input. So now I have a question, which is, what could possibly go wrong? And of course the answer is that unless as a developer I am very, very careful in how I deal with this untrusted input, a malicious user might give me a specially crafted address string that in this case includes a single quote, highlighted, allowing the attacker to escape the source attribute and add an attribute of their own, in this case one that loads arbitrary code. So in this case, if left unchecked, the resulting image tag will look something like this. It has a properly enclosed source attribute followed by an attribute that's going to load JavaScript provided by the attacker onto the page. And I'm going to euphemistically call this the bad place. It is not what we want, and definitely not what I want as a developer responsible for this page. So this is a basic cross-site scripting attack. Many of you have probably seen one of these in the wild. Very popular websites have suffered from these and so on. And there's a lot of research on cross-site scripting. So this is just a quick Google Scholar search of cross-site scripting, turns up thousands of results. We like to claim that we are not like many of these other papers. Many of these papers assume that string sanitizers, especially library-provided ones, tend to do the right thing no matter how they are used. We're actually interested in what happens if the sanitizers are wrong. So in this particular case, switching gears a little, I'll call the tail end of this story a tale, no pun intended, of two sanitizers. So what we want as a programmer in this case would be to escape a single quote and turn it into an HTML entity. In this very particular code example, this would avert the attack by making the single quote still be there but not in a form that allows us to escape the source attribute and so on. So imagine I am a developer, I am somewhat competent, so I hit Google. I need to find a library function that allows me to do this escaping task. Instead of rolling out my own, I want to use something that's established and well-known. So search result number one, library A. It provides a function very promisingly called HTML encode. It's been available for years to C# developers, quite popular, published by a major company. However, if I search for a little longer, I will end up with library B, which shares a lot of the same credentials. It's published by the same company. It's been around for years, and it's readily available to me as a C# developer. In fact, down to the function name, it is the same. So different libraries, similar credentials. And of course, I would not be showing you this if they actually behave the same, right? So it turns out that for our particular task, library A does exactly what is needed. It escapes the single quote. However, library B is pretty agnostic with regards to single quotes. In other words, it doesn't change them at all. And this is bad in our particular situation. So it turns out, exiting our tail and entering the real world, that libraries A and B correspond exactly to Microsoft's anti-XSS library and the .NET web utility class provided as part of the .NET framework. So on the slide is the source code for these two libraries, the HTML encode functionality. And what I want you to take away from this is that even knowing that they are different, it is tricky to go into this code manually and figure out exactly a characterization of how they are different. So that's tricky, let alone if you don't know exactly what the differences are ahead of time, say. So here's some questions we might ask about given sanitizers. First, I might be interested in seeing if they're actually identical. So can I swap library A for library B in all circumstances? That would be nice to know. If not, then I might care about a differentiating test case. So I might want to know exactly when the two functions behave differently. And finally, we might try to figure out if these functions are secure relative to some example bad strings. So there's cheat sheets out there for common types of attacks. We might try to figure out if there are any inputs possible that will yield a bad string. So moving on, I've shown you a tale of two sanitizers, and now I want to scale this up a little bit. I'm going to switch platforms, and I'm going to tell you what I think is the tale of 151 sanitizers. So here is a timeline. It shows source code changes to the PHP interpreter. And PHP, just like the .NET framework, provides functions for doing HTML escaping. So here, I've listed the last 12 years of updates to the C implementation of those functions. And it turns out there's 171 of those, 151 of those which actually change the code. So this is just looking at the source repository for the PHP interpreter. And what's really interesting is that the code changes quite a bit over time. So back in 1999, you know, before Windows XP and all that good stuff, there was about 135 lines of code. As a developer, you can sort of look at this and internalize what it's doing by staring at the code for, you know, some small amount of time. However, by the time we arrive in March of this year, which is when I took this sample, the code had grown to just under 1,700 lines with lots of different options for encodings and so on, making it much harder to review manually as a programmer, let's say. So there's lots of interesting changes over time, like I said. For example, this single quotes issue, PHP addressed that or tried to address this in 2000. So there was a flag added to these functions that tells PHP, oh no, really, I want you to escape single quotes as well. Another interesting change is the double encode flag, which was added in 2007. So in this particular case, it turns out there's vulnerabilities that result from multiple sanitization. So if you apply sanitizer once, that's okay. If you apply it twice, not so good. So the developers added this flag, which looks for existing HTML entities and avoids re-encoding them multiple times if you accidentally double apply. This leads to some vulnerabilities and so on. So just as a PL person, you know, very interesting archaeological dig of the PHP interpreter. All right, so some more questions we might ask about some of these sanitizers. You know, one thing is it safe to apply twice? So given this double encode flag, I might ask, you know, did we actually get this right? Second, is it safe to combine this sanitizer with other sanitizers? So imagine I have this timeline spanning 12 years, and I want to know if this sanitizer is safe to use with another sanitizer that's undergone many changes over the last 12 years. That's a lot of combinations to try out, and we might want to say something interesting about, you know, it is safe to use JS encode together with HTML encode given your particular application. All right, so summarizing, what I've said so far roughly amounts to, or I assert that it amounts to, writing string sanitizers correctly is difficult. People disagree on what correctness means, and even if they know, they might still get it wrong based on tricky corner issues. Second, as of the current state, the state of the art, there's no cheap and easy way to identify problems with sanitizers, like some of the problems I've shown. Finally, correctness is a moving target. So it depends on browser changes, on the one hand, and changes in general in sort of our understanding of how people might screw up. So these three points lead to, at least as a researcher, for me, lead to the question, what if we could say more about sanitizers? And this is where this project comes in. So the main contributions of this paper include a language front end and back end that allow us to model sanitizers really precisely. So the language is designed to look exactly like the way programmers currently write sanitizing code. It includes low-level operations on strings and tracking Booleans across loop iterations over strings. Our backend is consists of a novel symbolic representation of the full state space of these sanitizers. We call them symbolic finite transducers, and we provide interesting algorithms that we assert allow us to analyze really interesting properties about these sanitizers. So I'll give some examples in a second. So our evaluation consists of, you know, can we actually do interesting things with real sanitizers? So we grabbed sanitizers from Google's AutoEscape framework, from the Internet Explorer 8 binary, as well as several others internal to Microsoft, and also the OWASP Enterprise Security API, their HTML and code implementation. And in addition, we solicited code from two code for hire services. So we provided developers with a high-level English specification of desired sanitizer behavior with an emphasis on we want to avoid cross-site scripting. And we had three developers in this case provide us with code that they claimed would resolve this problem for us. So on these sanitizers, we check properties like reversibility. Given an output, can I always uniquely determine an input? Item potence, is it safe to apply a given sanitizer twice? Equivalence, are two sanitizers exactly the same on all inputs up to any length? And commutativity, so does the order in which I apply two sanitizers matter? So I'll go into the algorithmic contributions first, and then I'll discuss the evaluation. So the architecture of our system starts with a Beck program, in this case, in blue. And we transform Beck programs into this representation that I've mentioned. So symbolic finite state transducers build on existing work at Microsoft Research on automata theory and automated reasoning, in this case, the Z3 constraint solver. Once we have this representation, we can perform deep analysis on these transducers, which translates back to properties of the programs. So we can ask things like, does it do the right thing? And if the answer is no, we can see a counterexample to explain exactly why a sanitizer is wrong given a particular query. And finally, something I won't go into as much detail about, we can generate code from Beck programs directly or based on this intermediate representation, allowing us to deploy Beck sanitizers back into existing systems. All right, so let's have a look at a short Beck program. And this will walk you through what the corresponding transducer might look like and some of the questions we might ask about such a transducer. So here is a short Beck program. One thing you might take away from this, just a preemptive strike here, this sanitizer is quite short, but it is still tricky to write. So in this particular case, the behavior of the sanitizer, you're going to have to take my word on this, is it escapes single and double quotes. Using a single backslash, only if that single and or double quote is not already escaped. So this function aims to be idempotent, and it escapes quotes. Two key components of this program are an iter block. This signifies we're going to iterate over all the characters in a string, and this Boolean variable. So we can keep track of Booleans across loop iterations. We declare a single variable here, initially false, and the significance of this variable in this case is, have we seen a slash just now? So this program will show up later. Let's look at the finite state transducer that corresponds to this program. So here is one representation of that transducer, cleverly photoshopped out of the paper and into this presentation. So the key components here are, you know, there's a state space, there's transitions. The transitions guard which characters can traverse, or which characters allow us to traverse the graph, and also determine the output. And in this case, I've shown the conditions before the slash. They consist of symbolic predicates. This is the new and novel bit. We can use any background theory for this, using the Z3 constraint solver. And the stuff after the slash can be any length list of outputs. And each of those elements can be a function of the currently seen input symbol. So this allows us to create a very succinct model of potentially fairly complicated very complicated sanitizers, and it allows us to do extensive analysis. So we've seen a program, we've seen a symbolic finite state transducer, and now the question I would like to answer is, now what? So the answer is, let's do some analysis on this particular sanitizer, or more generally, what can we do? The first thing is equivalence checking. So given two syntactically different Beck programs, we can determine with certainty for any length input string whether or not these two sanitizers do the same thing. So that's nice. In addition, we can generate test cases that differentiate the two programs. So that's important. So what does this get us? In case of the previous tale of two sanitizers, we can actually determine whether or not NTXSS's HTML and code implementation is the same or not as web utilities. So that's algorithm number one. Number two is join composition. And this super awesome animation is due to one of my co-authors, I forget who. What it's meant to illustrate is the fact that we can create a single new transducer based on two existing transducers that represents the application of one after the other. And it's important to note that this is a full new transducer, and we can do all the things we could do previously with that new join composition transducer. So now we can ask questions like, is it the same to apply JavaScript and code after applying HTML and code relative to inverting the order? It turns out developers often get the order wrong. You can imagine some page that generates HTML using JavaScript. The JavaScript, which in turn is generated on the server side, you know, many levels of indirection. And there's a frequent class of bugs related to applying the sanitizers in the wrong order. And this gives us proof that applying two given sanitizers in the wrong order is actually wrong. Apologies for double animation. And finally, I guess algorithm number three, which I'll go into in detail, there are many more, please refer to the paper, is pre-image computation. So I can take a regular language, in this case as an example, and feed it backwards through one of these transducers and get the pre-image, which means any inputs that lead to strings in that regular language. And this is nice because, you know, from a practical point of view, there are many, many strings that we might want to test. We can simply express them and see if there's any inputs that lead to this. And this always works. If we don't find a string, then it is guaranteed not to exist. So in this case, I've used the cross-site scripting cheat sheet as an example. It'll feature again in about 30 seconds. All right, so that concludes the listing of algorithms. Next, I would like to briefly discuss our evaluation. Basically, we wanted to ask a bunch of different questions. I've listed them on the slide, and I'll go into a little bit more detail in a second. But since this is a language paper, we wanted to see what language features do we need to actually model or look just like existing code that that programmers tend to write when they write sanitizers. The second question is, can we actually check interesting properties on real sanitizers? So maybe real sanitizers are too big or so on. Turns out no. And finally, the one I'll go into, and the last one I'll go into in this talk, and again, please refer to the paper for at least three additional experiments, I think. Will HTML and code implementations currently available inside Microsoft and provided by these external programmers actually protect against known bad strings that are on this website, the cross-site scripting cheat sheet? So let's talk about language features first. For this particular case study, we use OWASP's HTML and code implementation, 13 sanitizers from Google's C template auto escape library, and 21 from extracted from the binary of Internet Explorer 8, as well as 7 synthetic benchmarks that we constructed over time as sort of unit tests for our implementation. We inspect each of these sanitizers to see which features available in our language are needed to model this without too many programmer acrobatics. So ideally, we want the translation to be fairly mindless and not all that algorithmically interesting. The result is quite promising. The majority, or about 76% of the sanitizers that we checked, so there were about 42, can be modeled directly without any extensions to the language. And what's really nice is that if we had multi-character look ahead, we could bump that number up to 90%. So 90% of sanitizers considered would be modelable directly in Beck, given a basic syntactic translation. And the key here is that as of the time of writing of this paper, we did not have that feature implemented. As of right now, we do. Second experiment, can we check interesting properties on real sanitizers? So in this case, we focus on four Microsoft internal implementations of HTML and code, and the three, four higher HTML and code implementations that I mentioned before. And we ask, are they commutative and are they equivalent on a pairwise basis? So the question is, can we check interesting properties? The answer is yes. We can check these interesting properties on these sanitizers. And the results look something like this in the case of equivalence. The paper has the full table, including the counterexamples for when sanitizers are not equivalent. What's interesting here is that sanitizers 1, 2, 3, and 6 are equivalent, whereas sanitizers 4 and 7, and I guess 5, appear to be different somehow. And that's going to be interesting in the next experiment, which is, do these 7 sanitizers actually protect against a sample of strings taken from the cross-site scripting cheat sheet? And the answer is 1 out of 7, namely number 4, actually encodes correctly for both HTML context and attribute context. All the others have at least one string where they fail to encode properly. All right, so in conclusion, I've presented Beck, which is a front-end language and a back-end analysis system. And we've shown evaluation on some number of interesting real-world sanitizers, which we got from a variety of sources, very popular libraries, including the .NET library and so on. Since I have another minute or so, I wanted to show you a quick demo. Our implementation is currently available online on the Rise for Fun website. So this is going to require some mouse acrobatics, I think. This is a Beck program. It should look largely similar to one you've seen before, the only one you've seen before. This is the escape single and double quotes idempotently example. So I've put this code up on the website, and I'm going to ask Beck to see if it is in fact idempotent, and if not, give me some example of why it isn't. So click the button. This is going to take approximately half a second. And in this case, Beck says slash escape is idempotent and it is not reversible. That's interesting. Here's some JavaScript code that does the same thing. Looks interesting. And finally, there's a somewhat interestingly laid out diagram of the corresponding finite state transducer. So through the powers of graph drawing and SVG, we can show you this in the browser. So one potential interesting modification I might make to this code is if I remove this particular check, the code should still be correctly formed, but it is no longer idempotent because I removed the check that actually says, did I see a slash just now? So in this case, Beck says slash escape is not idempotent, and it gives a counterexample, namely if I have a single slash escaped quote, it becomes a double slash escaped quote if I run it once. If I run it twice on itself, or if I compose it with itself, it becomes a triply escaped quote, which is generally not desirable. So that concludes the demo. Again, the demo is available on our website. We will be, I guess, pushing a new version of that over the course of the next week or so, which will allow you to check many more interesting properties, including, you know, specifying two programs and checking equivalence. So let me just minimize this, and that concludes the talk. please.
Did you manually port the programs, the original sanitizer?
Right. So at least two of my co-authors very diligently went through many sanitizers and converted them into our language, and there was some back and forth. So we did add some language features later, like the multi-character look ahead, based on sort of our experience in terms of can we actually do this easily, or does it become this acrobatic maneuver which only we can do. The ultimate goal is for this to be similar enough to existing code, so so that existing code can be ported easily and then used as a back program compiled to different languages.
Do you imagine that you're able to transform the compiled the original sanitizer?
Right. So the holy grail obviously is let's do some template-based translation of existing code bases into Beck. That would be really great, for example, for that presaging future work. For that PHP timeline, it would be really nice if we could just do that automatically. What we found in practice is that if we want to extend that to be general, in this case we had libraries in Java, C, and C Sharp, in that case, it becomes quite tricky because you deal with issues like memory management and so on, which are quite application specific.
Oh, does this work? Tudor Dimitris from Semantic Research. I find this very interesting because what happens during upgrades of large Web 2.0 sites. Is that sometimes the old version of the JavaScript running on the client side, the new version of the JavaScript invokes the old version of the code on the server side. This happens just because the upgrade takes a long time and there are multiple versions living together. So my question to you, and by the way, actually, this is apparently something that happens frequently during Facebook upgrades. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, can we check these sorts of constraint or these sorts of for these sorts of problems, so that if the new version invokes into the old version, the sanitization still works?
So that's an interesting problem. I'm gonna hijack your example a little and change it around a bit. So imagine that through some error in my code, I have a bunch of stuff in my database that is now incorrectly double encoded. So now I have a choice. I can take down the system and I can see if I can manually fix all of this offline, or I can magically try to change my code so that it now does a double decode, but only in a safe way. That's the type of situation that we anticipate would be a complicated use case for Beck-written sanitizers, where it would be very nice to say, if my strings look exactly like this, some language specification, it can be a regular language or a grammar, then the double application in this particular context is safe, even though in general you probably shouldn't do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks.
Great work.